God is still being righteous. Because God is still doing what he promised us he would do. And sometimes we don't like that. But it doesn't mean that we ought not praise his name anyway. Amen. The difference, the thing that is going to show up different between us and the world is going to be who we praise. You know, the world, I was surprised. I'm going to be honest with you. I was surprised that the world did not, and especially the news media, that they did not praise our current president for what is going on even now. I'll be honest with you. I think he was surprised. A lot of things surprise him, but I just, you know, he's always looking surprised, like somebody just turned the lights on. But it was amazing to me that he was, you know, that they have taken such a hard stand. But again, even there's a small amount of morality even left in the light left with some of these men in the world, even in the news media, where they can see that when you take off, when you order our soldiers to take off from a place and leave people undefended, that isn't right. That there is, again, if I could just say it, there's wickedness in that. And so as we go through this, I just want you to know, even when we look at the perils, the pestilence, the trouble in our land, sometimes the problems that we all face in this life, even being in, if I could say, some tribulations that come in this life in before the tribulation. But here we look at this and we constantly, there's always a time for us to praise the Lord. And what the world desperately needs to see is a Christian that through the troubles, the perils, the trials of this life, we thank God for everything. Yes, what made the difference between Paul and Silas? They sang praises to the Lord at midnight. When they were in chains and in the prison, they praised God that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. They praised and sang the Lord in the jailhouse. Listen, they had already been known for the message that they preached. But what backs up the preaching a lot of times is praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For everything. He says here in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Now, I want you to understand, number one, he shows us here where to praise the Lord. It doesn't mean that in the sanctuary is the only time or the only place that we can praise the Lord. In other places, it's going to tell us to praise him in earth and in heaven. And so here, we're getting much of the same picture, but the Lord kind of gives us this idea of, if I could say it according to the scripture, that the firmament of his power, the firmament is something when I go outside, I'm going to be honest with you, every time that I have a heartfelt praise of the Lord and not an automatic response that I have trained myself to make. Are you listening to me tonight, church? Amen. There's a difference between a heartfelt, you know, when you bow your head and give thanks for the food on the table, sometimes you are genuinely hungry and thankful for what's there, and sometimes you're on an automated response that this is what I'm supposed to do. And there is a great difference between automatically saying something in a prayer and saying, thank you, God, for what you truly have put before me. Amen. We live in an age, and again, it is a prosperous age that we live in, and sometimes we are not truly thankful. Now, you young married guys that are getting burnt dinners, I'm not talking about that, okay? Sometimes you can give thanks that it ain't worse than it already is, amen? Thank you, Lord, that it ain't burnt any more than it is right here. Amen. You don't pray that. That's what's going on in your heart. Amen. Lord, help me to choke this down. I mean, Lord, help me to eat this with a smile. I mean, we could talk about all kinds of things, but I'm just here to tell you tonight, when we praise the Lord, one of the places, in the first place in the psalm that it clicks off where praise should exist is in the sanctuary. Tonight we sit in a place that we call the sanctuary. It is a building. It's a place where we meet together. It's a place where the church is the body of believers, called out assembly of an almighty God, that have been baptized together, brought together to fulfill the great commission. We talked about that over and over again, but this is the sanctuary. And again, I grew up around fundamentalism, and I realized that there's a lot of people, and I'll say it, that there's nothing holy necessarily about the pews or the building or the carpet, except for this is where the church decides to praise the Lord. That this is where the church has decided to meet and preach God's word every week. And so what makes it a sanctuary is what the church does in this building. It is a set aside place. And you say, well, it's not, is it not like any other place? Is it not just, you know, well, listen, when I was a kid, they didn't want me running around a building. I can't tell you how many whoopings I received for running up and down the hall. And it wasn't even in the sanctuary. It was in another part of the building. But that was God's house, and my dad wanted me to treat it as such. And so this is a sanctuary. This is a holy place set aside for the work of God. We're not going to let just anybody come into the sanctuary and preach from some other word or some other book that is a perversion of the gospel. We want the pure word of God preached from the pulpit, and we're not going to just let anybody come up and preach. We've got standards in this place. We're not going to just let anybody take a lap around the building. We've got ushers on the corners, and I don't think they'd shoot anybody, but they may tackle them on the way by because they don't know what they're doing. Hey, this is God's house. There's an order of service in his house. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and in the temple, there was an order of service. That word wasn't just made up and brought into God's house flippantly. It's because there is everything in God's house is to be done decently and in order. And we have an order of service that we follow because we are trying to worship and praise God when we're in his house. And praise ought to fill this building every time we come together. We ought to be not just giving thanks, but praising the Lord that we have a church and a sanctuary to meet in. I submit to you tonight, church, there are churches that wish they had this building. You may look around and pick apart all the little things that you think could be better, but I'm here to tell you, when I come into this place, I'm still thanking God that we got a place to meet. This morning, I walked in and I was thankful that the air was on. Amen and amen. I walked in and I'm thankful that the air wasn't just turning, but it was cooling. I'm so thankful that I walked in, and not only did I show up, but the church showed up in the sanctuary and to have church. Listen, I don't know about you, but we ought to praise God that we're still serving God the way God laid out the plan, that we still have a Lord to praise, and that, well, on this side of heaven, if I could say it, the sanctuary is still a place to meet. It's still an important place. There's still a group of people, the called out assembly, that still hold God's house reverent, come, dress up, and serve God in this place. Amen and amen. Praising the Lord is sometimes done in my presence when I show up. Sometimes I praise the Lord with what I wore to church. Sometimes I praise the Lord with my mouth by saying, praise the Lord that he's given us a good day today. Can I just say, there's all different ways to praise the Lord, but don't get mixed up with the brand new liberal way of praising the Lord. They don't hold the house of God sacred. They turn the lights off and turn the flashing lights on. There isn't any order of servants. The song service has preeminence about what was going to be preached later on. Hey, don't get it mixed up. I believe the church ought to praise God, but we live in a day and age where people have forgotten what praise truly is, and they've forgotten the purpose of it, and they messed up the place of God in the sanctuary because of the way they praise. Heaven and earth, I believe that this is this firmament of his power. I believe once we step outside of the building, from the place that we worship him and praise him primarily, and I think first of all, according to the scripture, then the firmament of his power. This place is a special place because God in this scripture sets it aside. as praise. But then when we walk outside of the door, we are in the firmament of his power. That means everything that he's created that dwells under and above and around and anything that we could come up with a description of the firmament. Now, I know others, they want to try to place this, that this is in heavenly places in the tabernacle. And you could make and draw off of it, but I just want to tell you, as a believer on this side of heaven, in this body, in this state where we are as a church, we ought to praise him in the sanctuary. And when we step outside the door, when I praise God, something wells up inside of me. And often when I see his power and his greatness is when I look up to the firmament and I see the stars that he set in place and I see the clouds that I have no control over that he blows to and fro wherever he wills. When I see trees shaken because of the power of God blowing around the place and I don't understand how all of it works. I've studied it in school and I've looked at all the science, but I realize that when things are shaking and moving, that it isn't just because it was a big bang, but because God put it there and God set it in order and God is the one that's moving in my life and around me. When I see that day turns to night and that God set all that in order and everything moves in his plan and in his purpose, I have always in my life since I've been saved looked up and decided to praise God. I have no control to make morning come, but I'm thankful that there's a God in his power that makes it come again every morning. He's the one that holds it all together. And when, listen, if you wake up and you're having your cup of coffee, don't praise the coffee bean. Praise the God of the coffee bean. When you wake up and there's a sun rising, don't praise the sun, because that's what the pagans do. But praise the God that set the sun and the moon and the stars in space for our good and his glory. Amen. We read on, not just where to praise. I mean, we could go on and on about where to praise, but how about why we praise? Verse number 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We don't have enough time. This book records all of God's greatness, but not all of it. It records all that we can get in the scripture of his mighty acts. We even have the book of Acts, but I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't contain everything. It contains everything that God wanted us to know on this side of heaven. It's everything that God decided to reveal about himself. What should I focus on? How should my praise be focused on an almighty God? By reading his book and all his mighty acts. I'll define new ways every day to praise an almighty God because I've been in his word. I ought to study his words for a brand new way to praise him. I ought to study it. It says according to his excellent greatness. Do you know how many times you could praise God when you realize that you don't get what you deserve, but you got grace from an almighty God? Amen. When we consider the excellent greatness of God, you could mark every sin that you pass by every day and turn and thank God and praise his name for his excellent greatness. Do you realize every day, listen, every bad thought ought to be when you realize that that thing is under the blood. That God not only sent his son to die for you up until the day that you were born again, but for every day after. Amen. For every time that you sinned after, he covered you with his blood. That he covered you with his forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I know this. I serve a great and awesome God. I can't even keep track of all the things that I do that displease my God and are against his law. But I can tell you this, he can. And he's marked everyone and he covered everyone with grace and forgiveness and with the blood of his only begotten son. Amen. Why do I praise God? Because I praise him for his mighty acts. I don't know about you, but man, around even Haines City, we can count all the mighty acts that God has displayed in this life. As I go town to town and I'm at other churches, I hear about more mighty acts that God has done in their place. And in their place, that where the church met together in the sanctuary. And sometimes they prayed for somebody like Brother Baker and said, God, we love this brother and we don't want him to go to heaven yet. And if it be your will, just let him stay a little bit longer. And we watch God in something that only God could do. Not only turn the hearts of the doctors and do something that they've never done before, but then it work by the mighty hand of God. And then that brother get up in a humble way and give a testimony to the greatness of an almighty God. We ought to praise him on a daily basis. I thank God when I go in our business office and I don't, listen, if there's any way my brother, that Brother Baker can turn the conversation to praise God for what he's done in his life, I'm encouraged by when I go and sit with him. Do you want to know what'll change your coworker's life? When you get in their presence and no matter what the conversation is, listen, if you're saved tonight, you got something to praise the Lord about. You don't have to pass from death unto life in the flesh. You've passed from death unto life by the Spirit, and you've got something to praise God for. And you can tell the world and the person across the desk or the person working next to you how great an act that God has taken care of in your life. I don't know that I could preach it in the way that I feel it on the inside. But believer, tonight, God is so mighty, and his excellence, his greatness is so much mightier, so much greater than I could ever put into words. But we ought to praise him for all of it. Hey, where? I know where to praise him, in the house of God and everywhere else. But why I praise him is because he's a mighty God. I don't want to get off on a tangent tonight and take a lap myself. But I'm just going to tell you, when we talk about his mighty acts, there is no other little G God that's as mighty as the Almighty God. The triune God, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no one else that holds a candle or takes a breath. There's nobody on planet Earth that could come up with anything that could rival or match an almighty God that I serve and that you serve, and the one that loved us so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary and to pay for our sins. I'm here to tell you, I could start listing them, but there ain't no Buddha that's as good as my God. Hey, there ain't no Allah that's as good as my God. There ain't no other thing. There's no bull, no cow, no half fish, half man. There's nothing else that anybody's ever worshipped that would ever even equal or even get halfway of the mighty acts of my God and your God. And we ought to praise him for them. Boy, I tell you, listen, you know, you listen to Allah, you listen to those folks all the time and every day. They're praying and praising his name. I don't want them to outpraise me for their fake moon god. I don't even want them to outpraise their prophet Muhammad. I want to outpraise them for Muhammad. I want to outpraise everything that has breath inside of it that praises a false god or a false theory in our day schools all around the world. Hey, I'm thankful. I heard just today, and if you missed it this morning, you got to hear this. One of our teachers said that, listen, even in our schools, not only is evolution enough for them to be teaching, but now they're trying to teach kids that the world is flat again. Hey, I'm telling you, the flat earth theory is catching on, all right? And that is just stupid. I may have hurt somebody's feelings right with that, but I'm just telling you, that don't even make sense. I thought we got past this world. All right, I thought we moved on past it. But you know what happens when you pull enough history down, like we did over the last few months and year? When we pull enough history down, we'll forget what we already learned. When we burn enough books like they did in Germany, we'll forget what we've already learned. Hey, I'm just here to tell you that we ought to praise God for what he's already revealed in his word, because he's better than any God there is. Amen. Little G. Right. Amen. Amen. Not only where and why, but how about how. The rest of the bulk of this psalm gives us all kinds of things about why. And I mentioned to you that I may have to come back and deal with some of it. And all, there's so much here. But he's going to give us, he says, praise him with the sound of trumpets. Brother Burke said amen right there. Trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but it sounds like in the middle that praise is mixed up in some of our music and our singing and our playing for the Lord. When we get ready for preaching, a lot of times we're doing some praising. And if you open, Pastor has said multiple times in that hymnal, a lot of times, God has used men to write down praise to our God. And a lot of that, a lot of people learn as much in the hymn book if they're reading the right hymns, if they're singing the right songs. And even in the definition, when we use the word hymn, it ought to be a right song. But when we see those things, it teaches us right doctrine. It teaches us to sing praises to the right God. It teaches us to sing praises and how we're going to sing praises to him. But I want to focus. It's not hard. I don't think we're going to stumble over trumpet or the harp or all these, even timbrel, just kind of a handheld drum. But we might trip up as Baptists when it says dance. We don't take the dancing in there. And I know that there's churches and a lot of this, even in the inception of the message, defending or kind of giving us a good picture. But this is one small piece of how he tells us to do that. Even in David's life, I don't know that there's any other person that God wrote so much about the details of his life in his word, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, as he did David. David was someone who had he was a man after God's own heart, and only once in his life do we see God record David dancing. And he did it before the Lord. It wasn't a sensual dance. It wasn't a dance with a woman. Even in, we could read the definition, but I think you could get, again, the definition of dance is warped by the world. They think it's a sensual thing between two people. Dance just means to kind of leap a little bit. And so when I get real excited in church, all right, don't tell me I'm dancing because I won't like it. But according to the definition, it means to leap up. And so I believe that David, as the music was playing, as they were bringing that Ark of the Covenant back to the place that it always should have been, he got excited before that thing. Amen. I think he was leaping up and praising the Lord. I think he was getting excited. But even look over at Psalms 149. Throughout the scripture, there's about seven times the word of God uses the word dance. But several more times it uses the word dances. In the Old Testament, most of the time you'll find the word dances. But here in Psalms 149 in the third verse, it says, let them praise his name in the dance. Doesn't say multiple. And so I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of people that will skew, especially in the praise and worship world, that want to excuse themselves. And how they, again, there is a difference. And we could turn, if we wanted to Jesus' exchange in John chapter 4 about how we are to worship the Lord. All right? And the Bible says, and Jesus' quote is in spirit and in truth. And again, I don't know exactly what the dance was then, but it isn't everything that people make it out to be today. It isn't everybody in their own pew doing whatever they want to do. There are the same type of people that use tongues in the excuse of the Holy Spirit to go off and do what makes them feel good in the flesh. There are others that use dances in the pew, and when the music is beaten like the world, they move their body like the world moves their body in a nightclub. And I can tell you one thing, I may not know exactly what the dance was, but what they do in places that they call church ain't it. All right? Hey, I'm just here to tell you, don't get mixed up and don't go telling everybody that there's no such thing as dancing. You need to balance everything by the word of God. And by its basic definition, dance can be praise, but often enough, it's when we get excited and get so spiritually wound up, we may go, woo. All right? And I almost showed you something else, but I don't think I was going to say, and not this, but I think I'm going to keep that in tonight. Hey, I'm just telling you, church, that we ought to praise the Lord with our musical instruments. It seems to me that these things are things that man can learn outside of speech that he can use to honor and praise God. I'm thankful when we come into God's house where we started with the sanctuary that a lot of times that we're building up and singing about what God has done in the past in his mighty acts. And then we have somebody that is skilled on the organ. If you read through the scripture here, it's going to name that. We have a harp. We have all kinds of stringed instruments, including the piano, and it helps all of us sound better together when we praise the Lord in song. But still don't let me catch you dancing. Not what the world says. Hey, I don't mind at all. I've been in some meetings where somebody left a seated position, and when the preaching or the singing got right, they stood to their feet and praised the Lord. And as long as that is directed by the Lord, I don't have a problem with it. But when you start gyrating to draw attention, you've left praising and you've lifted yourself up with pride. Amen and amen. Amen. Let everything, the scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then it finishes with praise ye the Lord. So we went through where to praise, why to praise, and how to praise. But who's going to praise? Everything that has breath. Amen. I don't really know. I grew up on the farm. I don't know all about what chickens and hogs and cows know. I don't know. I mean, I ain't never been one, so I don't know really what they think. But I know they have fear, and I know that God can control them. And I believe, even though they may not know when the day of their death will be, I think they have a knowledge of the presence of God. And I've been in a chicken house, and again, it's all huddled together, and I've heard lightning strike outside of that place. And that place that was a quiver with, I mean, just all kinds of chickens clucking and making noise, it get just as dead silent. And them reverence an almighty God for his power. I've seen hogs. When a storm blows in, I've seen them look at it and stand in awe in the majesty of an almighty God and his power, and look at it with reverence, and then run like there was no tomorrow. Hey, they ain't dumb. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, everything that has breath in this planet ought to praise the Lord. And when we get to a place where God gave a man a wife, and they fell into sin, then he sent his only begotten son to redeem that family. I mean, many generations of that family back unto himself. That thing that he put breath in ought to praise him. That man or men and women ought to come to a place where we praise God for the very breath that's in us. Sometimes we get so caught up with looking and trying to pick out something to praise God for, when even the prayer list tonight, have you ever thought, do you think it's by accident that God brought COVID? Again, man made this thing, but God allowed it. I don't know. You can argue if you want, if it's a judgment of God. There's all kinds of theories out there. But one of the things that people on their deathbed are struggling for is breath. And if anything should come out of this, especially with God's people, if God brings us through it, we ought to praise God for the very breath that was in us. well, to come to a place. Listen, I thank God when I see some others that got down to a place where they couldn't hardly make it, where they didn't have any strength because they couldn't get air, and that air be oxygenating the blood that's in them that fuels the body, and they struggle for strength and weakness. And I think to myself, how good God is. I walk and I work and I spend every day of my life, and I don't realize how important it is that God gave me breath again today. That God gave me something that was so precious, and I take it for granted. Hey, we think about our necessary food and we give thanks for that. When was the last time you woke up and realized I'm still breathing and God is good? Amen. Hey, folks, church tonight, I mean, we have so much to praise God for. We sit in His sanctuary, a place that He gave us to hold as a holy place to meet together. And God is so good and so mighty that He keeps not only the world and the universe spinning, but He gives us breath day by day. We ought to give Him praise. If you know how to do that through a trumpet or some other thing, boy, wouldn't it be great if you continued to do that for God's glory? But listen tonight, church. The start of giving God praise with your breath. I can tell you the time that I really praised God was when I bowed my head at 15 years old. And I took Jesus as my Savior. I said it this morning. I called the opposite of receiving and rejecting. But I remember that day that I received Jesus Christ. And that was true praise. I praised God for sending His Son to die on Calvary. And I accepted His finished work for me. And I remember when I said, thank you, Jesus, for coming and dumb. Listen, you can argue all you want of the science of it, but I thank Jesus for coming into my heart and saving me. And that was a precious words to me when I needed it most. It was were precious things to me. Hey, folks, if you're here tonight and you're not saved and you've been putting it off, or you just listen, you've been saying, I'll do it tomorrow. Don't do it tomorrow. Get saved tonight. If you're a believer here, and listen, whether you've had the flu bug that we've been talking about so bad or not, God spared you from it, we ought to thank God for our very breath tonight. We ought to thank Him for the house of God and all His mighty works. Let's stand together. If God has spoken to your heart, why don't you step out and come? The musicians are coming, but don't wait for them. If you're here and you need to be saved, why don't you come and meet me in the front? We'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Believer, you say, boy, preacher, that helped me tonight. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, as the music begins to play, how many of you lift your hand up and say, preacher, that helped me tonight. I need to praise Him more. Amen. Listen, why don't we do that tonight? Whether it's in the pew or at the altar, praise God for who He is tonight as the altar is open.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Bowed, our eyes closed tonight. Many have come, done business with God. Maybe you still need to. We've had someone come, want to join the church by baptism. Maybe you've been holding out and you're ready to, again, we're ready tonight to receive you into the church. If you've been saved, you know that, and you want to come to Christ, and you know, tonight, if you've come to Jesus Christ and you've never been scripturally baptized, that means by immersion. And so if you've never been scripturally baptized, we can do that tonight. You just need to take time to step out and come and say, I want to do that, preacher. I need to do that. I need to surrender to the picture that pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll give you an opportunity to do that as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. All right, why don't you be seated? We have something to share with you tonight. Michaela has received Jesus as her Savior. Michaela, why don't you come stand with me? You can come. I know they're scary people. Just come stand with me right here. I'll protect you, I promise. All right. And these folks out here, and she's coming. She wants to join the church by baptism. If you'd lift her hand to assure her you want her here, amen. She's a part of our day school, and her mom works here as well. And so we're going to go around and get her baptized tonight. Amen. Amen. Brother Burt, why don't you lead us in a song? Michaela, why don't you go with those ladies right there, and I'll follow right around there.
Amen. 522. There's a royal banner given for display, the banner of the cross. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him king, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. Though the foe may rage, gather as the flood, let a standard be displayed, and beneath its fold, as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth be not dismayed. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him king, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. Over land and sea, wherever men may dwell, make the glorious tidings known of the crimson banner. Now the while the Lord shall claim his own. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him king, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. When the glory dawns, 'tis dawning very near, it is hastening day by day. Then before our King, the foe shall disappear, and the cross the world shall sway. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown him king, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross.
Caleb, from your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I do baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand together. Don't forget the lemons. Amen. We do appreciate you being here. Brother Perkins, will you step up to the mic and close us in prayer, my brother?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the night, Lord. We thank you for the message that we just heard. And Father, I pray that as we leave here tonight, Lord, each and every one of us will apply it to our lives. And Father, we do thank you for this young one here, Lord, that just gave her life to Christ and was baptized tonight. We ask that your spirit would go with her and teach her and guide her and direct. And Father, as we dismiss, we pray that you take us home safe and bring us back safe Wednesday night. We love you. We praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.